going to grow, get this leg growed out. Now, this one is normal?
This one's normal.
Okay, just want to make sure we're not commanding this one to grow shorter. Okay, got to put them together if you can, okay? Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, command this leg to grow out even with the other leg right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Exactly even in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is. They're exactly even.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
I'm not going to walk like a duck.
No. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Did you see that?
I saw it. I was looking at it.
I don't need the lift I ordered.
Praise. Praise God. Did you see that? I love it. Why did you wait so long? You didn't know?
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Through Tony, you do miracles and wonders.
It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. Now you got to learn how to walk right.
Now I can walk right. Now it's a little too long. Thank you. Now, if I go back to the doctor and he does an X-ray, he shows me it's all even.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have Jesus, and you can't get any richer. And he will never give you agita. Wow. Praise God. Praise God.
That is amazing.
Look at that. Wow.
That is amazing.
Holy moly, wait till I go back to the doctor.
You already know.
I know.
You just went to the doctor. Dr. Jesus. Amen. You understand that that's for all of us. That's for all of us. It wasn't me. I didn't do that. That was Jesus. Same Jesus you got. Same Jesus you got.
Amen.
It's just a thrill to be able to watch him do it in front of you, you know. It's just a thrill. Amen. Wow. Well, I'll be leaving soon after church, headed to Orlando to spend a couple hours with my grandkids, leaving out of Orlando Airport early in the morning. For Tanzania, and we're excited. They're excited over there. They can't wait for us to get there. They're excited. They're excited. I'm excited. And we're going to a totally different place. We've been to three different. This will be the third. How many times have we been there? Three. Different place each time, and there's a whole different group of churches that we'll be going to minister to. And they have the testimonies of what God did before, so they're spreading the word. So I'm expecting it to be awesome. Praise God. Praise God. If there's anybody that is thinking about the last Africa trip for maybe this year, will be Zambia. And that's next month. the end of next month. I think the 28th we go. As of right now, I'm it. I'm the team, me and the Holy Spirit. I'm satisfied with that. I'm totally okay with that, but just throwing that out there in case anybody thinks you might be interested in going on that mission. It's going to be, they're having what they call a, they want to try to get all of Africa together, all the leaders in Africa together for this major conference. But it's, I think it's pretty hard for most people in Africa to travel like that. So we don't know. Only God knows. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. After that, Philippines will be second week of June. If anybody's interested in that, you can let us know, okay? Okay. Hallelujah. It's good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord. Okay. Thank you, Father. We're grateful. We're grateful. We're so grateful. You're our daddy. We love you. You first loved us and you came and got us and you drew us to yourself. You're an amazing daddy. You're an amazing father. You are the lover of our soul. You have done so much for us. May today we understand to a greater measure, a little bit more of what you've done and who you really are in our lives and to us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You know, one thing I really like about young people, children, people with a child's heart, is that they don't really care what anybody else around them thinks. They don't really care, you know, if they could stand up in front here and wildly dance. It don't matter what anybody else is thinking. It doesn't matter. And Jesus said we come into the kingdom as a little child. And we walk in the kingdom as a little child. And in that respect, okay, not childlike in the sense of being silly, but childlike in the sense of just simple trust and not letting the opinions and feelings of other people, not letting what other people think or say about us touch us. Right? Okay, so you're doing something as you're up here and you're just dancing like you did last week. And some people may think, you know, that's just out of place or wrong. You know what he's thinking about that? It don't matter what you're thinking. I don't care. This is not for you anyways. This is unto the Lord. Okay? And that should be our heart attitude in everything that we're doing, whether, you know, is there anybody here, are you going to do something in your life that you believe God would not want you to do? No. So if you're doing something in your life that maybe, other people view as something you shouldn't be doing, then what should it matter? What should it matter? It's God. It's pleasing him. And some of us do that in weird, strange ways. Have you ever had, you ever done something really weird and then people look at you like, what's with you? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And the Holy Spirit taught me, I used to think that being proud was somebody who was arrogant. That's what most people think. You know, he's a proud person or she's a proud person, just very arrogant. But the Holy Spirit showed me that the greater pride in people is timidity. Someone who is so timid that they don't want to do anything or they don't want to be seen or they don't want to, step out and they don't want, to do things for God. It's just like they're just so timid. And he showed me the root of it for myself was self-consciousness. Awareness of myself more than awareness of God. And as long as we are self-conscious, we'll never be bold. As long as we're timid, we're not going to be bold. The two don't mix. You're one or the other, right? Okay? So he revealed to me that my timidity, my holding back, was pride. What's the middle letter in the word pride? I can't do this. I can't accomplish this. I'm not called to do that. I don't know how to pray for people. I can't help this person. I don't really know what I'm doing. Hello, none of us know what we're doing. But Jesus does. So it's when the focus is on I, then there could be pride there. But what does God say about that? What does he say about pride? Huh? Comes before a fall. Yeah. How many of you like falling? No. But the Bible says in James, he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. What's a humble person? Biblically, a humble person is someone who knows who they are, is someone who understands that Jesus Christ is living within them, and they're not that old person anymore. And no matter you know what I feel, what anybody else thinks about me, I am not that person anymore. And we humbly, even though we don't act it out all the time, we humbly declare who God says we are. So what I wanted to do this morning is I had a message, but I scrapped the whole thing. It was like 20 minutes before I had to take my shower to come here this morning, and the Holy Spirit began to give me a picture. And I'm going to talk to you about that picture. It's like, oh, Tony, you're just so weird. You're just so weird. I talk to other pastors, and they tell me, man, you know, how do you work 60 hours a week and still minister? How do you do that? I said, well, I live ministry. I live in the presence of God. I live in the Spirit. And God, through life experiences and my time in the Word with him, he prepares me. And they say, well, you know, we have to spend 40 to 50 hours every week preparing a message for Sunday. I have so many pastors tell me that. I have to spend 40 to 50 hours every week preparing this message so I can have it perfect. So I've got everything all memorized, and I just release it, and it just, you know what we're doing when we do that? We're releasing ourselves. And nobody needs ourselves. Lives do not get changed by our carnal person, by our natural person. Lives get changed by the Spirit of God. And it's not by our brains, it's not by our might, it's not by our power. But everything in the kingdom of heaven happens by the Spirit of God. Everything. Everything. So he's been reworking me for a long time. You've seen it. He's been reworking me and teaching me that I just need the... You know how many times I've gone through this book? You know how many hours I've spent pouring the Word into me and just meditating on it and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? He's got enough goods inside of me to pull out whatever he wants to pull out. And that's the way it should be. We never need to be concerned about what we're going to say when there's somebody standing in front of us. In John chapter 14, he said he will give us. Jesus said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't be thinking about it. Have you ever like had a meeting someday with someone and you're kind of dreading that meeting of talking to them, and the night before you're tossing and turning, you're thinking about what you're going to say all night long. You get up in the morning, you're kind of rehearsing in your head what you're going to say, right? And Jesus said, don't do that. In that hour, the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Words that will bring life. Words that will change that person. It doesn't need to be a lot of words. You know, it's not with God. God doesn't need a lot of words. He just needs his Spirit to ride on our words. And then lives are going to get changed. You know, I tell you these kinds of things because, you know, I spent a lot of years learning. And I like it when, somebody somebody gives me a tidbit out of the wisdom of their life that they've learned to do something because they did it wrong for so many years and then finally got it right. And I want to hear how you got it right. I want to hear how you ended up. How did you end up in this place? Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, that's the wisdom that I want. And that's what I want to give you. I've been through a lot of ringers. I've been through, you know, a lot of ups and downs, but I've discovered the Christian life is not up and down. Christian life is stable in the Holy Ghost. The Christian life is life and peace. The Christian life is full of joy and excitement and anticipation. And the ups and downs come out of the soul realm. So I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to try to demonstrate that picture that he showed me. Oh, my gosh. In Ephesians. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right. Ephesians chapter 4. Now I'm going to read verse 24. It says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man," which was put on the new, put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. The new man, your spirit man who was born in heaven when you received Jesus Christ, was born in heaven in true holiness and in true righteousness. Scriptures say that your spirit man is the righteousness of God. He made you his very own righteousness. He declared that you are the righteousness of God. Your spirit man, your spirit woman is the righteousness of God. That's the truth. Okay, do you feel that way? Some days, maybe. Some days, maybe not, right? Some days you sure don't feel very holy. Some days you sure don't feel very very righteous, especially when you get into a little tiff maybe with somebody, especially when somebody ticks you off or you tick someone else off. You don't feel very righteous or holy, do you? Okay, but it has nothing to do with it. Your feelings do not affect what God has made you to be. But we allow religion to think that it does. We allow religion to tell us that God's relationship with us can be affected whether we are in sin or out of sin. If we are in sin, religion tells us, and this is going back to the Old Covenant, okay? Religion tells us that we're separated from God. Okay, if under the New Covenant we've been separated from God, then what did Jesus do? Jesus, when he went to the cross, he rent the veil. There is no more separation. He opened the way, and it is permanently open now. It's hard for a lot of Christians to understand that if I sin today, that God is still, I am still in right relationship with God. They can't understand that. They think, well, I just got myself out of right relationship. No, you didn't. You cannot. You cannot, because he made you holy. He made you righteous. He made you pure. He made you perfect. The real you on the inside, that's who he made you to be. And you cannot get out of fellowship with him unless you believe you can get out of fellowship with him. Religion has done a number on us. It's made us think that God just turns his back on us when we do something wrong, when we do something bad. It's made us believe that, now my prayers aren't going to get answered. I'm going to have to fast and pray for a couple weeks, try to get myself back in shape here, you know, so God's going to listen to me again. No! He is full time. You can go to the throne of grace. Grace is what God has done and is doing for you, has nothing to do with what you do. You can go to the throne of grace boldly. Because of what Jesus has done. See, I don't have to be timid anymore. I can be bold because my self-consciousness is becoming more and more God consciousness. If you are out somewhere and you're talking to someone and you are aware of your inabilities, aware of your lacks, aware of what you can't do, maybe, you know, that's just what you think, there's no way I can help this person. You're thinking that stuff, okay? Then what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be bold. You're not going to open your mouth. You're not going to say anything. But that's the greatest pride there is us thinking that it's about us. Is us thinking that we have something to do with whether or not God is going to touch this person. No, he just needs your hands. Because you're living in him. It's helpful if you believe. And even if you don't, and he's living in you, he'll still flow through you. Can you believe that? What an awesome God. What an awesome God. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Okay. By that will we have been sanctified. We have been. What tense? Past. When were you sanctified? When you were born again. Now, when I share this picture with you in a minute, I'm going to show you which part of you was sanctified, okay? Okay, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. How many times do we need to have him come and do that? He sanctified your spirit, man. He made, sanctified means to be made holy or set apart. Okay, set apart from who you used to be, set apart from the world, set apart from all the stuff that would hinder you or hold you back. Okay, he has already set you apart, made you a brand new creation through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He only needed to do it once. Hallelujah. And every priest stands talking about the Old Testament and the Jewish priests, even at the time this was written. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. That's the way it used to be. Every day. But, I looked at verse 12. But, here's the but again. But this man, capital M, who's that? Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, he offered one sacrifice for your sins, that's all your sins, past, present, and future, he offered one sacrifice for sins, your sins, forever. He sat down at the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Let's keep reading. Why do you sit down? Why do you sit down? Your work's done for today, right? You're sitting down right now. Your work is done today, right? You sit down when your work's done. He sat down because the work was done for everything we needed. From that time, waiting until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Watch this. For by one offering, he has, that's already done it, perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay, watch this. He's perfected forever. Okay, who did he perfect forever? Your spirit. Your spirit person living inside of you has been perfected forever. Made perfect forever. Your spirit, man, the way he is living inside you right now is just the way he's going to be for all of eternity. Nothing else needs to be done to him. Nothing else needs to be added. He's done perfect. He's been perfected. He's holy. He's full of the glory of God. Your spirit woman is glorious. There's no lack for her. There's no lack in your spirit. There is none. Those who are being sanctified. Okay, so your spirit's been perfected, but he says those who are being sanctified, what's being sanctified? What is in the process of being made holy? First, we read it, your spirit man has been made holy. But he says here, being sanctified. What is that? That's your soul. Your spirit has been made absolutely, totally perfect, but your soul is in the process of being set apart, in the process of coming out of the world, in the process of leaving behind the old ways of doing things, the ways of independence from God. Your soul is in the process, and your body is in the process of beginning to learn what it's here for. Our soul without Christ tells our body to do all kinds of things that are fleshly, that are wrong, that are not good, that are hurtful, that are harmful. To punch people, to spit at people, to say bad things about people. Our unrenewed mind in our soul tells our body to do all kinds of wrong things. Okay, so that's all in the process of being sanctified. But the real you, the spirit woman, the spirit man, has been made perfect. Been made perfect. What's that?
The soul is the flesh.
The soul.
The soul.
No.
It's
no.
Not the flesh.
No. The flesh is all that you are that is not dominated by the Holy Spirit. Okay, your soul can be dominated by the Holy Spirit. Can be. Your mind, your will, and emotions can be dominated and led totally by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that's not flesh. But your soul can be dominated by self, and which it can step into flesh, which is no good, right? Right? So he says here, verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And he goes on to say in verse 15, we're not going to read it, what the Holy Spirit has done, He has removed, let me read it. The Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. What did he say? Your sins and your lawless deeds. Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to remember him anymore. What does that say? The Holy Spirit says that your sins and your lawless deeds, he will remember no more. He will no longer see you according to your flesh. He will no longer see you according to the things you do wrong, the things you mess up. But he's going to see you according to the spirit man that he made you to be, the spirit woman. Perfect. Holy. Aren't you glad? Okay, but religion has told us when we mess up, when we sin, when we goof up, we do things that are wrong, okay, that separates us from God. God's ticked off at us. God gets mad at us, you know, and nothing's going to happen. And we got to somehow work to get back into God's favor. Do you know that you, when you became born again, you got all the favor of God once and for all? You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It came by the grace of God. What does that do for you if you're out somewhere and you got someone in front of you that needs ministry and the lies come to you in your head that, okay, you know you don't know how to pray for this person. You know. You don't know what's going on with them. You know. How many times have you seen powerful things happen through you? What do you think you're going to do? You're not going to do nothing. You're just going to bring Jesus a bad name here. You better just shut up and stand back. We know when those things come, we can just simply respond by, wrong, devil. This is not about me. Take it up with Jesus because he's the one that's going to touch this person. It doesn't matter whether I'm perfected on the outside of not or not. It doesn't matter whether all my actions are perfect yet or not, because in God's sight, my spirit man has been linked with the Holy Ghost. We've become one together, and his life is going to flood out of me and going to bless the socks off this person because of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know? I better
give you the picture first. Okay. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to unzip myself.
It's not what you're thinking. Say, God have mercy on you. I instantly knew somebody was thinking something not good.
I'm going to unzip my body, okay? And I'm out of my body. I'm going to take my soul out and put it here. My mind, my will, my emotions. My spirit man, he comes out and he's going to stand over here. And then my body is going to stand over here. Okay? My spirit man, standing here, is pure. He's holy. He was born in heaven. He has the same nature as Almighty God. He has the same nature. When you read scriptures, you have to read. All right, let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. If you don't understand what I'm trying to explain to you now, you'll never understand that scripture. He who has been born of God does not sin. Who's that? That's your spirit. Been born of God. He does not sin. He cannot sin. It's impossible for him to sin because it's not his nature anymore. And he was born in heaven, pure and holy. He cannot sin. Who can sin? Your mind, your will, your emotions, and the emotional realm can sin. Your body can sin. You can have sin functional there, but you cannot have it here in your spirit. I want you to get this picture, okay? Because when you're reading scripture, you've got to be able to differentiate as to who he's talking about. Is he talking about your spirit, man? Or is he talking about your soul or your body that is in the process of being sanctified while you're here on earth? What is he talking about? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. First time I read that, it said, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I thought, when I read that the first time as a new Christian, I thought, there's something wrong here. There's something really wrong here. Certainly, everything is not new in me, because I'm thinking the soul, and I'm thinking the body. Certainly. I don't look any different. I didn't lose any weight. I don't look better. I'm not thinking any different, really. There's something happened inside of me I can't explain, but I don't really understand. But this helps us to understand, because he's talking about all things that become new in your spirit. Your spirit person is brand new, totally new. Your spirit cannot get sick. Your spirit will never need to be delivered. Your spirit cannot be inhabited by an unclean spirit, because it said in Ephesians chapter 1 that you have been sealed. Your spirit has been sealed by the Holy Ghost. When you became born again, that has the same meaning. How many of you do canning? You can fruit and stuff, okay? You put that stuff in there. You seal the top. Okay, you use a special top to seal that so that nothing from the outside can touch what's on the inside. The Spirit of God seals your spirit so that nothing from the outside can touch your spirit, man. Nothing. Whoa. Whoa. Now, I pray right now that your sanctified imagination just begins to become active. And you begin picturing the reality of really what has happened to you and who you really are. That you are a spirit person who's been made perfect. The glory of God is resident within you. The same Jesus that walked the earth, that is right now seated at the right hand of the Father, is living in you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's living in you right now. Become one with you, never to be separated again. Never. Can you see it? That's the real you. That's the real you. Don't look at your soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, that's in the process of changing, in the process of being renewed, is that's the real you. You got that to use. That's some equipment you got to use, okay? And don't look at your body as though that's you. That's not you. That's just your car you're driving. The real you has been born in heaven and is filled with so much glory and so much power and so much supernatural ability. Okay, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 last week that we don't, Apostle Paul said, I don't look at the things that are seen, but I look at the things that are unseen. What's unseen? Your spirit is unseen. Your body is seen. Sometimes people see your soul through what you say and what you do. But you cannot see in the natural your spirit. That's why he gives us these scriptures. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus is right now, so are you in this world right now. What's he talking about? What part of you? Your spirit. As Jesus is right now, above all principality, powers, and rules, he's defeated all the power of the enemy. He's seated far above that. He's ruling and reigning. Okay, as he is right now, so is your spirit in this world right now. But if we don't see it, we don't believe it, we won't live it. Person is what? Okay, then they have a spirit that's dead towards God. Dead in trespasses and sins.
Is the spirit still pure in them?
No, absolutely not. Their spirit is dead in trespasses and sins. We were born into this world with a spirit, man, that was dead towards God. Dead in sin, dead in trespasses. Born into the world this way, okay? Until we get born again in heaven, there's no way, if you try to make somebody be a Christian and teach them how to live like a Christian and they've never been born again, it ain't happening. Because they don't have God's nature. Yeah.
What newborn babies that never did anything?
Okay. That always comes up. Okay. You know, I believe that if a newborn baby was to leave the earth for some reason, young, before they had opportunity to receive the Lord, then they would be with the Lord. It would be contrary to the heart of love of our Heavenly Father to think anything differently. I cannot. It's not. But we all of us here. Obviously, we all are old enough. We've come to that point in our life where we've made a decision. With an act of our will, we chose to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In that moment when the Holy Spirit saw faith in your heart that Jesus had done all this for you, he'd forgiven all your sins, and he paid the price for you, that moment, the Holy Spirit saw that, that moment, your old spirit, man, new spirit man born in heaven, happened so fast, like that. It was done. But you still had the old, unrenewed mind, the old soul living in the old body, and they were like unaware. But you had, how many of you remember, you knew there was something different about you. You couldn't really understand it, but there was something different about you when that happened. You don't remember that? Everybody? Okay, well, a child can truly be born again They can, with the childlike faith, they can place their faith in what Jesus had done for them and get born again. But if their mind never gets renewed, if they're living in a house with parents that are living worldly, and they're never instructed in the ways of the Lord, and never instructed in what the Bible says about who God has now made you to be and what they're able to do, but instead teaches them in the ways of the world, you know, like when they get sick, pampers them, and, you know, and doesn't explain to them how the authority in the name of Jesus can put this out of the house. So there's none of that going on, okay? Then they're not growing. They're not being sanctified. Their mind and body are not being sanctified. The change is not happening there, although on the inside, they've got a spirit with the full-grown Holy Spirit living inside of them that wants out. But he can't get out, okay? The spirit in us has got to go through the soul to affect the body. The spirit in us, until our mind is renewed, until our mind is renewed to the truth of who God is and who he made us to be, okay, there's like a very, very, very small opening for the spirit to get through, because it's got to go through the soul to get to the body and to get out. As our mind gets renewed, the opening gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, until out of your belly, rivers of the spirit of life flow unrestricted, because your mind is now in agreement with who God made you to be. And now you can see everywhere you go. And what are we doing here? Week after week after week, we're doing nothing but training and equipping you. I'm speaking to your soul. I'm not speaking to your spirit's got the goods already, okay? Your spirit, man, knows everything. Your spirit knows everything there is to know. Your spirit is one with God. So I'm not teaching and speaking to your spirit, man. I'm speaking to your soul. We're trying to get our mind renewed. When our mind gets renewed, the opening opens up so that freely the Spirit of God can flow through us. Amen. So we've got living in our spirit, resurrection life. We've got living in our spirit, no sickness, no need for deliverance. There's no demons in our spirit. Okay, but we can be packing them over here in our body and in our soul. We can be loaded up with them. Why? How do demons take up space within our soul? How does that happen? We believe lies. Okay, they can only occupy space in a lie. When a lie comes and we believe it, we think that it's true, then the demons can occupy that space. But as our mind is renewed to the truth, then it gets pushed out and pushed out. It just happens. They just get pushed out. Because when the light comes, it exposes the darkness and removes the darkness. How many of you have ever seen a dark room argue when you turn on the light? When you flip on the light, there's no argument that comes from the darkness. It doesn't say, wait a minute, we don't want light in here. No, it's instant. When the light comes, it comes from God. It's purifying, it's cleansing, it just removes the lies. So the key is to get our mind renewed to the truth. And as that happens, we just get changed. We just get changed. What does the Bible say? Train up your children in the way they should go. The Bible doesn't say, send them to school and trust the school to train them up. But we've seen a shift, and especially in America, to families, Christian families, sending their children to secular schools where there's no talk about God, no talk about, you know, who they are in Christ, no talk about any of that. And then they come home and there's no talk at home. Well, what do you expect? We, as parents, have the responsibility to train up our children in the way they should go. Okay, now I know what's happening right now. The enemy's trying to put condemnation and guilt on some of you because you didn't do it. Or maybe you didn't do it very well, okay? Forget it. Jesus took all the condemnation and all the guilt for you. You're not going to get that coming from God. You're going to get that out of the soul realm. You're going to get that from the enemy who wants you to, again, look at yourself, to become self-centered, to look at your lacks, to look at what you didn't do right and what you should have done different, okay? Forget that.
Just like a child does not care what anybody else around them thinks, man. If they're gonna play, they're gonna play. If they're gonna fly flags, they're gonna fly flags. It don't matter if the person behind you, will you shut that stupid flag? It don't matter. It doesn't matter. And we need to be that way about the people around us. It doesn't matter what they think.
Can I ask you a question? What happens if somebody, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden loses faith because something keeps happening and happening?
Okay.
First
off, in your spirit, you have the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, you don't lose it. You don't lose anything in your spirit. Okay, why do we see something happen in our life that doesn't prove out who we really are? It's the issue is we're believing a lie. We're believing something that is not true. And his life is not able to come out of it, come out of us. Okay? So the key really is for us to get our mind renewed so that we can be transformed. Our focus needs to not be on self. I was many years ago, my childhood was, I was very introspective, okay? I was always navel-gazing. I was looking at all the things that were wrong, trying to analyze all the things that were wrong in me. And I ended up at the age of, I was senior in high school. I was a few months into the school year, and I got bleeding ulcers. And why did I get bleeding ulcers? Because I was so self-conscious, so introspective, so constantly trying to analyze everything. And why is this happening? Why is that happening? Why didn't this happen? And why didn't that happen? Constantly, you know. And I was the kind of young guy that if I wasn't worrying, I would worry why I wasn't worrying. You know, I was just that way. I was just really hyper, just really hyper. And that did me absolutely no good. Did it need to be? I believed a lot of lies. I didn't know there were lies. I didn't know who I was. I was clueless about who I was. I was sent by my parents, who loved me very much, to go to church, and they sent me to a very religious church that all I learned was how to kneel down and stand up and ring bells. And that's all I learned. I didn't know. I didn't. There was no transformation. There was no acknowledgement of Christ and who he was and what I needed to be. And there I am in the hospital, okay? And they operated on me. They don't operate for that stuff anymore. Now they got all this stuff, the scopes and things that go down and do all. They cut me wide open. And they went in there and they tried to stop the bleeding, and they gave me up. I didn't do so good. Or I'm 18 years old, laying in a hospital bed, unconscious, they said. But while I'm laying there, I heard what everybody was saying. I couldn't move anything. I couldn't move any part of my body, but I could hear what they were saying. I'm telling you, if you're ever in a hospital room and they say somebody that, you know, they're unconscious, they can hear you. You speak life to them. You speak life to them. And I didn't, what happened to me was I had a theophany. You know what that is? I wasn't saved. Jesus came to me in the room. He walked right up to me. I'm out. But I'm seeing this in with my spiritual eyes that weren't even born again yet. And I saw Jesus walk up to me. He looked at me. And he said, "You're not going to die." And it's all he said. And when he looked at me, it was like, "Yo, Landa." I was like, "Whoa." I mean, it just went right through me when he spoke those words, "You're not going to die." And I'm sure that I had a relative somewhere that was praying for me that God spoke to, and they prayed and they listened and prayed for me. And we need to understand
who we are in Christ. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, that the Holy Spirit in us will give life to our mortal frame. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what it says. I got choked up and stopped on the first three words, the same Spirit. The same Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Lives in you. The same Spirit. Not a different Spirit. The same Spirit has made come together with your spirit. Okay? It says that he will give life to your mortal frame. How? As our mind gets renewed to the fact that he is living in me, he's made me a new creation, he wants me to bring his life and his power and his love everywhere I go and to give it away. And that's, it's not about me. It's all about him in me, me believing that he wants to do that, and I just need to cart my body around. It's just us coming to that place that is the reality. That is truth. It's more truth than anything you feel. It's more truth than anything anybody says. It's the truth that the living God is alive in you. The living God is alive in you, and he wants to live through you. Can you see it? Can you see it? He's in you right now, and he wants to live through you. Can you see it? Get your mind in agreement. Tell your mind, shut up, mind. All this stuff you're telling me about what I can't do and, you know, how bad I am and how far away I am and how far away from God I am and you know, how I'm just going to have to end my days just, you know, as a miserable mess. Shut up. Tell your soul to shut up. You see, our soul is there to carry out the commands of our spirit, to tell our body what to do. But the problem is, until our mind gets renewed, our soul is telling our body to do things that aren't good for us. And our spirit is just sitting there, waiting, filled with life and power and victory and peace and joy and waiting to just erupt through us, but cannot until we get agreement. When you see it, you got it. I tell people, you know, I read the scriptures and I see myself in the scriptures. See Jesus doing stuff, I see myself doing it. And they say, oh, that's visualization, that's New Age. I said, no. You it's totally legal for you to visualize scripture. Okay, it's scripture. It's the word of God. It's totally legal for you to picture yourself doing this. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. As Jesus is right now, victorious over everything, completely defeated every devil. As he is, so am I right here, right now. See yourself declaring a thing and then watching it become so. Why? Because it's already been done. Everything you need has already been done by your Heavenly Father. Everything's already been done. He's waiting for us. Oh my. My. So, this is what I did. I drew this little picture out this morning. I drew this little picture out of self. That's our self person, and that's that. Can you see that? That's my spirit man. My spirit man is, and myself, guys. Bummed out, you know, bummed out. There's always something to be bummed out about for your living out of your soul. There's always something to be bummed out about, but for your spirit man is always rejoicing. Your spirit man is always full of joy and peace. He's 100% of the time, 24/7. Your spirit man is excited right now. She's like, yeah, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Oh, I can't wait till my mind gets this so that I can flow. Your spirit wants to flow. You get that?
Flow. That's what your spirit wants. It wants to flow with the Holy Spirit. That's what you were created for. The devil's done a number on us to make us think that it's not going to happen. It can't happen. Your body can be contaminated through all kinds of wrong belief, but your spirit never can. Your spirit can never be contaminated. The real you, the part that's going to come out and go to heaven one day, can never be contaminated. Pure, holy, can't get sick. Can't get sick. I know. You know? What's that? Yeah. Well, it's you and the Holy Spirit. Well, okay, yeah, we need, Jesus said, unless two will agree, how can they walk together? Right? Okay, so we want to get our mind, our soul, to agree with our spirit man. When we get our mind trained to agree with who our spirit man really is, then our body's just going to go. Our body is going to listen to a renewed mind. Our body is listening to the mind. It's not taking orders from the spirit. Okay? If you're living out of your soul and your soul it just wants to eat, drink, and be merry, and you just tell your body it's time to go feed ourselves. It's time to go to sleep. Okay? Your body's going to do that, right? But if your mind's been trained that stuff is secondary. The first thing is allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through us. I know it's. Have you ever seen? Maybe this has happened to you, where you've been in a place where there's a crisis is going on. Maybe a house is on fire, and or people are drowning, and there's somebody that comes up and they run in the burning fire to save someone, or they dive into water that is like sub-zero degrees to save someone. You heard of stories like that. I watched a movie, I can't remember the name of it, about some army guy that he's on the front, and he kept going back to the front and pulling guys who, what was the name of that? Pulling guys who were, hurt and they couldn't move, they couldn't do anything, pulling them out and bringing them out. And I listened to some of the interviews of these people, and they say, what were you feeling when you decided to put yourself into a fire to do that, and the answer from all these people is the same. It's, I wasn't thinking about myself. I wasn't thinking about anything happening to me. My only concern was the person in the fire. My only concern was the person that was drowning. And if you stop and think, well, okay, what if I die? Then what about, who's going to take care of my family? Who's going to take care of my kids? I'm going to tell you, that person will never do it. They won't go. They won't go because they're self-conscious. They're conscious of themselves. In order for God to be able to move through us, we need to lose that self-consciousness, and we lose it by the Word of God and understanding who we are, okay? And all of a sudden, we become bold. We just become bold. We're not afraid anymore. It works the same way in the spirit realm as it does for those people that run into fires and they pull someone out. They could have very easily died themselves, but the last thing on their mind was something happening to them. The only thing on their mind was getting that person out and getting them saved. See, with the heart of God, it's getting a person who's lost saved. And the heart of God, it's getting a person who's been damaged by the devil, who's been hurt by the devil, who's been defeated, and they're in depression, and they're in despair. Getting that person restored, that's the heart of God. So it doesn't matter whether we think we got right words, we think we know enough to talk to them. That stuff doesn't matter, because God's got the right words. And it's the Spirit of God in us that's going to speak them to you anyways. And we come to that place where we're just not focused on ourselves anymore, but focused on the kingdom, focused on who it is that's living within us, focused on the heart of God, the heart of love for people who are hurting and need his touch. When our focus becomes that, you become bold. And the Spirit of God comes out of the Spirit and empowers you supernaturally. Because the opening gets wider because you understand, this is not about me. It's about the King of creation who's living inside of me, who desperately wants to touch this person who needs help, who desperately wants me to bring my hands so he can reach out through me to set a life free. That's what it's about. And when we get out of ourself, we get out of our self-centeredness, and we get into God-centeredness, God-focused, focused on him. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You want to put it up, Harv? 2 Corinthians 3, 18. I think we should read it. I was going somewhere else, but that's... Okay, it's all right. 18. But we all, are we all? Are we all? It's talking about all of us. Okay. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. When our focus becomes beholding the Lord, when our focus becomes seeing him in our lives, seeing him in every situation, when our focus becomes seeing him in the Word of God, when our focus becomes seeing him in worship, we get changed. What happens? When our focus changes from ourselves, self-centered, self-focused on all the things we can't do, when it changes to that, from that to focused on him and how he's already done it all and how he's got all power and all authority and he's resident within me and he wants to release through me. When our focus becomes that, then the Spirit of God empowers you to do what you could never do. We've not been called to do a possible mission. We've not been called to do something for God that is possible in the natural. It's totally impossible. The things that God has asked us to do is completely impossible in the natural. But not, we're not in the natural. You're in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. Can you see it? You are in the Spirit. You are in the Spirit. You are hidden in Jesus Christ. Can you see it? That's who you are. That's who you are. You're not this poor old person, oh, woe is me, oh, man, my life's a wreck, I just everything, nothing works right. That's not you. You are a spirit man, a spirit woman filled with the glory of God, ready to bring the kingdom everywhere you go. That's who you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can see it, you can walk in it. If you can see it, your heart, the faith that's in Jesus will erupt, and you can begin stepping into it. Hallelujah. Sure.
I used to have a phone operator, and when I got somebody's message on a phone, I used to go, no, it's me. And now, if I know that this is something I'm taking on. I'm going to be from 8 to 10 on a prayer line, people to call, and I will pray for them. And I've been praying for people in the street, you know that. So, I couldn't, and this is all God. I just know how important it is for me when I was hurting for somebody to pray for me. And this is God's gift. I got to give back to God what he did for me, helping me so much. And this is just me. I can't believe God is doing for me all this, that he took me. This, I'm a born again, new person. But where I came from and the hurt, it's just beautiful that God, it's all.
And the same God is living in you and wants to do it through you. And will do it through you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Did you hear that? If anybody needs prayer, you can call her. Yes. Woo. And she'll talk to you with straight legs. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
Whatever you get, you will be equipped for it. Whatever you get, you will be equipped for it. Don't take a call and think in your head, uh-oh.
No.
No, no, there is no uh-oh with God. He knows that person.
But this is the girl who couldn't talk on the phone.
Yeah. Look at her now.
Who would never talk? You believe that?
I'm the same way. I would never talk. And the only way I would talk or dance is if I got blasted on booze. That's the only way. Yeah, I would talk. And well, I shut up. But all right, I want to look at one more scripture, okay? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know how the church interprets that? Work on your flesh. Work on the things that are wrong. Get yourself fixed. And then you'll be walking in the Spirit. That's not what he's saying. He's saying don't even look at yourself. Don't even look at the things that are wrong with you. Don't even look at the problems in your life. No, no, no. You look at and you know who God says you are. You look at the truth. You want to worship God? John 4 something says, Jesus said, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. You must worship God in your spirit, not in your soul, in your spirit and the truth of who you are in Christ. That's the only way you can worship him. And that's why many, many believers don't care about worship services, because they've not learned how to worship God in their spirit and in the truth of who God made them to be. They're trying to feel something, trying to work something up in the emotional realm, and maybe it's not working for them. That's not worship. Worship is understanding who you are. I worship God, I worship you because I'm your son. I worship out of my sonship. I worship out of the fact that you've made me your own, that you've become one with me. I worship you, Lord, because we will never be separated. We'll never be separated. And you made it that way. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. We are together. We are one. And all your great power and love is resident within me. I worship you, Lord. I come to you as your son. I come with my hands lifted up, praising you as your son. As your son. As your son. As your daughter. As your daughter. I believe that when Saul and Paul and Silas were in jail, when they were put in jail, it says that at midnight they broke out in song, they broke out in worship, they broke out in praise. And I believe, you've heard teachings today, they say, I want to tell you the power of praise. Okay, if you praise, you'll get God to do these things. That's not why we praise God. We don't praise God to get to move him, to do something for us. We praise him for who he is. We praise him because he recreated you. He made you his son. He made you his daughter because he took you out of that filth and he put you into his kingdom and he gave you life and he cleaned you off, took all the crud off and washed you off and made you look beautiful. We praise him for that. We praise him because he is good towards us in every way. His every thought he has towards us is good. We praise him for that. And we hallelujah. So they're praising him for who God is and who he made them to be. And they weren't thinking that if we just praise God, he's going to get us out of here somehow. You know, wherever you find yourself in life, it don't matter. You praise God. You give thanks in everything. Because God's intention is good. God's going to take a negative situation. He's going to flip that thing around. He's going to show his glory. You just praise him for who he is. And what happened? They didn't know there was going to be an earthquake. They didn't know. They're just praising God. They got stocks on. They got chains on. Their chains are rats crawling all over them. And they're praising God. Why? They knew who they were. They knew who was living in them. And they knew that the life of Christ that was resident within them is waiting to be released. And until God says, come home, There's no jail can stop them. There's no jail can stop them. And God brings an earthquake, cracks open the floor, busts the doors open, and sends some angels to escort them out. Come on. This should be normal for us in the name of Jesus. This should be normal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I think I had enough. Ah, oh, 75 people. Never touched a gun. He pulled 75 people out of the front line. And that guy, when they questioned him, he said, and they asked him, what were you thinking? Weren't you afraid? No. Fear never entered my mind. Weren't you concerned that you would die? Nope. What were you thinking? I'm going to get those guys saved. I'm going to get them to safety. That's all he was thinking. Boldness comes when we understand who we are. It just happens. You know, how many times we pray for, you know, there's only one time in Scripture where the disciples, they prayed for boldness. Only one time in Scripture. Why? Because you will naturally be bold when you know who you are. Because it's not about you anymore. Your lacks don't mean nothing in the kingdom of heaven. Your inabilities don't mean nothing in the kingdom of heaven. Where you came from, what side of the tracks it was on, matters not in the kingdom of heaven. God takes the things that are not and makes them something that are. God takes the despised and makes them good. God takes the things that man looks at as stupid. Okay, you don't have any intelligence, any wisdom, and he's in the Word of God says that he releases his wisdom through them. God loves to do stuff like that. Any lack that you have, God's going to turn it. He's going to show himself to be strong. Amen? Hallelujah. I hope you get a little excited. Now, I know your spirit woman, your spirit man today, I know, was enjoying this because your spirit wants to come out. Your spirit wants to be released. Your spirit wants to come out like a flood. You got a river inside of you. Y'all got a river inside of you. You got a river inside of you. I mean, it's a powerful river. It's inside of you, and it wants to flow. It wants to flood. It wants to flood all the ground around you. It wants to bring life to all the dry ground and dry grass. That river is waiting for us to know who he made us to be. Amen? Hallelujah. So we thank you, Father. We thank you, we praise you, we honor you. You're such a good daddy, such a good daddy. Holy Spirit, thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for helping us to begin to understand more and more who we really are, who we really are. And to not be afraid to speak to our soul and to speak to our body and tell them to get in line with who you've made us to be. God, I bless everyone in this place. That today would be a God day. Today would be a day that they would all see your hand in some way and rejoice and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to pray for us, that would be good. Yep, absolutely.